This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. He grew up in Ohio, went to Miami University, and is now a best-selling author and star of TEDx Talks. Austin Kleon will talk about his growing career and his new book, Show Your Work, 10 Ways to Share Your Creativity and Get Discovered. That's on the way later on Cincinnati Edition. But first, a more serious topic, caring for loved ones with Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. As a caregiver, you can try to fight the disease and face frustrations, give up, just let it happen, or choose to learn and understand what's happening in order to adapt to changes in your loved one. On Wednesday evening at 7 at Cedar Village Retirement Community in Mason, leading dementia expert Tipa Snow will explain her innovative caring approach for people with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. Her book, The Gems and Dementia, Including Alzheimer's, a guidebook for care partners, was developed with the support of Cedar Village Retirement Community. Tipa Snow is joining me on the phone from her home in North Carolina, and in the studio with me is Debbie Tyler, Director of Rehabilitation at Cedar Village. Hello, and welcome to Cincinnati Edition, ladies.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Well, I want to begin by asking both of you to help define Alzheimer's and dementia. What is the difference between the two, and what are the similarities?
Well, that's sort of one of the most common questions that we hear these days. So if you had a great big umbrella, that would be dementia. And then under that umbrella, we have somewhere between 85 and 90 different forms, causes, and types. And one of those big boxes under the umbrella is Alzheimer's disease. And it's not even a single condition. We know Alzheimer's has several forms at this point. We're learning a lot, but we still have a lot to learn. Now, when we say someone has dementia, what that means is their brain is going into brain failure, but it could be from a variety of causes. What we want to make sure of, it's the real deal, and it's not something that could be fixed or modified by doing some changes or giving some medication or getting a disease treated or finding out that something acute is happening. But if indeed their brain is experiencing changing that can't be fixed, then we're looking at something that's going to progress and going to get worse, and it's going to eventually kill so much of the brain that the person can't survive. And they're called neurodegenerative diseases because they basically destroy the brain over time. But the time period varies depending on the type of dementia.
Oh, well, you point out in the book, I think there's a comment in there you make, it's all about chemistry.
Absolutely. Chemistry first and then structure, and both are damaged with this disease. But the chemistry means there's this variability, which makes it really hard because sometimes they can and sometimes they can't. And that's sort of tricky. So it tricks you into thinking, well, no, I mean, it was just a bad day. And then there's a series of bad days, and then there's some good times. And so it's hard because it varies and it turns off and on with the chemistry. But structurally, their structure is failing with dementia, too.
Well, before we delve into the GEMS system that you've developed with some help from the Cedar Village Retirement Community, talk about existing systems of rating dementia and how your GEMS system began.
Yeah, well, I worked with the Alzheimer's Association in North Carolina, and I'm an occupational therapist by training. And the first system that came out came from the Alzheimer's Association, and it was just a system, 3 points, early, middle, late. Early, people could live independently, but we had to check on things like medications and driving and financial management. Middle, they were going to need more supervision and guidance, probably 24/7 eventually, but mostly verbal guidance and visual guidance, but not so much hands-on. And then third stage was late, and that's when they would actually need physical assistance and actually physical help to do even the most basic things like eat and move and turn in the bed. And eventually, even that wouldn't help. And then a second system came out, and that was Global Deterioration Scale by Dr. Reisberg. And it's a 7-point scale, and it focuses the opposite of normal development is the development of dementia. And you go in the opposite direction, which is accurate, but it focuses a lot on what can't people do anymore. What are they going to lose next? What skills and abilities are going to deteriorate? So you'll know they're at that point. And then there was a third system, and it's an OT system called Cognitive Disability System. And I like it, and it comes from Claudia Allen, because it talks about not just what's lost, but what's preserved and what interests and what abilities and what kind of cueing and environmental support might help. But it's also a numbering system. And who in the world wouldn't rather be in first place than last place? And who wouldn't rather have six of something rather than just one? So if you talk numbers, you give value to one over the other. And so I wanted a system that spoke more to the value in the moment of whoever is living with this condition. It is what it is, and I can't fix it, but I sure can create the right setting and the right care so you can shine. And I was also looking for something that people already knew. So if you knew something and then I could apply dementia, your brain would hook onto it better and use it more easily. And that's where GEMS really truly came from, was a way to speak about this condition that wasn't derogatory and it wasn't negative and it wasn't downhill. And so diamonds, emeralds, ambers, rubies, and pearls, along with sapphires, sound like pretty good things to me, regardless of where we are.
Tipa Snow discussing her book, The Gems and Dementia, Including Alzheimer's, a guidebook for care partners. She's here on Cincinnati Edition with Debbie Tyler, Director of Rehabilitation at the Cedar Village Retirement Community. If you have questions about caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's or dementia, or if you've used the GEMS system, give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org. And Debbie, I want to turn to you because Tipa just described the existing rating systems, and I know Cedar Village has been, you know, at the forefront of using this new GEMS system. Did you see an advantage right away with the GEMS system?
Absolutely. What I really like about Tipa's approach is the fact that it focuses on what we can do with the skills and the abilities that are still present, not on what is lost. And I know that caregivers have a very difficult time. It's challenging to let go of what is lost, but we want to focus on making the most of what they have in the present, at the present time. We have an expression that we use a lot at Cedar Village that our residents are doing the best that they can. And we want to remember that and not try to fix things or make things better that we can't, just accept them for who they are at that time.
And Tipa, let's run down what the gems are. You mentioned sapphire, diamond, emerald, amber, ruby, and pearl. And as I was reading the guidebook, I was really amazed at how well these gems fit these different stages.
Cool?
It just is, why didn't someone come up with this before?
Yeah. Well, it's just sort of taking two things you already know. And I spend a lot of time taking things people really already do know, but they hadn't thought about in that way. And so a sapphire is true blue, and that's you and me on a good day. And our brain is still doing as well and as much as it ever did, but it's a little slower than it used to be as we get older, but functionally still very competent and flexible. And then we've changed to a diamond when we're having a bad day, or we're starting dementia, or we're depressed or frustrated or angry. And that means we get rigid and inflexible, but we still can shine. People aren't sure whether it's a choice or just a behavior. And we get, when we're rigid, things sometimes bounce off of us, or we get things in there and we can't let go of them. And so this is that point in dementia where people aren't sure whether the person is doing this on purpose, or frequently they'll say, she knows what she's doing. She did fine a few minutes ago. And it's hard because they have so many facets to them, and it depends on who they're with and when it is as to whether or not you see it or not. But boy, they can cut you like with a knife. I mean, they're so good at picking you apart sometimes when they're upset with you. And they can be quite mean, and yet it's the disease, not them. And it's hard sometimes to remember that when you're a care partner who's had a mom that's like really being mean to you and you're trying your best. And then we move to the emeralds. And emeralds they're green because they're on the go. And the thing about emeralds, they're always flawed. But they may or may not know that. And yet the go is vague. There's a color to it. We can't miss it. Now we know for sure something's changing and it's permanent and it's not good. They're getting lost in time. They're the thing that they're trying to say, those things. Words are getting vague. They're having trouble keeping up with the day. They may do something and then turn around and say, well, I didn't get anything to eat. It's like, but you just ate. Then. And it's frustrating because I can't hold on to stuff, and yet it seems like I can sometimes. And I can. And then I can't. And then there's the amber, and those are the folks that are caught in a moment of time, just as amber is formed when sap comes from a tree, and you have something stuck in the amber, and then it hardens a little bit of all. It's the most malleable, it's the most changeable. And in the stoplight sequence, the yellow light is the one where you have caution. And these are folks who are all about sensation of the moment, not about getting things done and not about tasks. And so what they like, they want, and what they don't like, they're not going to do. And often this is a really tough point in the disease where they need a lot of help and they don't want it. They don't like the feel of the water. They don't like the food. They don't like that touch. And yet, on the other hand, they're seeking out things that are dangerous and they have no safety awareness. And then comes the rubies, where fine motor stops and they have big movement left, but they have one direction of travel only. And if they're on the go, they can't stop. And if they're stopped, they have a hard time getting going. They're not able to use their eyes well or their fingers well or their feet or their toes or balance or coordination, and their speech may be very slurred or difficult to understand, and eating is a challenge because the big movements are there, but the small, fine movements and control are not. And then finally, the pearl is trapped in a shell, and the shell is the body. And yet we sometimes get so carried away taking care of the shell that we forget that the gem is really inside, and there's still a person in there. They aren't who they used to be exactly, but they are who they are in that moment. And the challenge for us as care partners and caregivers is to not get so carried away with polishing the shell and trying to manipulate the shell that we damage or hurt or forget that pearl. That's the abbreviated.
and well laid out, as I said, throughout the book, you have different approaches to explain this, because I know that people understand it at different levels. And one of the big things, Debbie, and I know you see this at Cedar Village a lot, is the fact that people knowing what is still there versus what is gone, not lamenting what is gone, but celebrating what still exists in these patients.
Yes, absolutely. And we have estimated that approximately 85% of the residents that we take care of at Cedar Village have some decline in their intellectual functioning, whether it be a mild cognitive impairment or Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia. And what we have done at Cedar Village is made a commitment to have all of our staff trained in dementia care, and we want them to be not just dementia aware, but dementia competent. And there's a big difference between those two. So you might ask, well, why would a maintenance worker or a laundry worker need that kind of training? But when you think about one of those staff persons going into somebody's room, perhaps to fix the thermostat or to collect the dirty laundry to go wash it, for somebody who has dementia, that can be a very difficult situation for them. So you have interactions with people all day long, and we want to make sure that everyone has the skill set to use the right approach and handle the situations competently.
So what has been the reaction of caregivers and patients since you've started using the GEM system?
It's made a tremendous difference in the quality of our interactions with the residents. It's just the right thing to do. It gives the person the respect that they deserve regardless of their level of dementia. It actually makes care easier, because instead of fighting with somebody over what needs to be done and being task-oriented, you make the connection with that person, and they trust you, and they're much more apt to go along and do the task that has to be accomplished.
Debbie Tyler, Director of Rehabilitation at Cedar Village Retirement Community, on the phone with us is Tipa Snow, discussing her book, The Gems in Dementia, Including Alzheimer's, a Guidebook for Care Partners. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. And Tipa, I have a question via email. What are some signs that a person is slipping beyond normal aging and forgetfulness to early signs of a real problem? Somebody who might be a sapphire in the GEMS system, but slipping towards diamond.
Yeah. One of the things to notice is not just difficulty recalling people's names, but making mistakes on events or whether something has happened or hasn't happened. And when you signal that, you know, the person looks, they're really surprised that they made a mistake. They don't usually do that. They maybe have trouble managing or complicated finances. And again, it's not necessarily the very beginning, the checkbook. It could be things like the taxes or the investment. And they're making decisions, and you just look at the decision, it's not the decision they would have made. It's just not them. And you may find them in the middle of the night getting up and being turned around and wondering, now, wait a minute, what's going on here? And being more argumentative or seeing personality shift. It's not that memory thing where when you get something, it jogs your memory and you go, oh, yeah, shoot, that's exactly what it was. When you get the hint or the cue, your brain is still going, wait a minute, I don't think that's true. And you cannot figure out how you could have not known that. And it's distressing. And some people get angry and some get scared, but it truly is that difficulty with something that's beyond. And it could be word finding where you're looking for words, and it's not like it pops into your mind a second later. It won't come. And it's something that when you think about it, God, I know that. Why can't I think of these things? And we want to be careful because not everything that isn't normal becomes dementia. So we do need it to be checked out. And one of our big challenges is making sure it does get checked out and checked out effectively by someone who knows what they're doing.
We're talking about caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's or dementia on Cincinnati Edition here on 91.7 WVXU. Can give us a call at 513-419-7100. Phil from Batavia, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Do you have a question for Tipa or Debbie?
I absolutely do. My question specifically was for Ms. Snow in the book. I'm a visiting nurse. I go from patient's home to patient's home all day long. And I wanted to get her take on if the book is more geared towards the clinician, or is it something that I could present to, say, a family member that's also caring for that person? And the other part of my question is, how do you present the book to somebody that may not know that their family member is showing this type of a decline?
Good questions. Well, we initially did the book to help family and basic caregivers who are in this without maybe a lot of background, a lot of experience, figure out how to have a connection. And so a lot of the book is actually written in first person. So I'm the person with dementia, and it would help me if. And so what I do in each chapter is sort of describe what you might be noticing about me and what I'm having trouble with. And so if you notice this, then I give suggestions about what the thing to do is. And then finally, what are some common mistakes? So what's nice about it is you can sort of do the sort of table at the front, like look at this and see which of these you think your mom might be. Because when people age, sometimes there are changes, and sometimes they're just normal aging changes and sometimes not. So I usually try to find out from the person I'm having the conversation with, tell me a little bit about the kind of things you're noticing, if anything. And if they don't notice anything, then we're in a very different place than if somebody's going, well, she's having some trouble here and here. And I could say, all right, well, let's take a look at sapphire and diamond and see what you're thinking. Because when we talk about gems, again, the value of the gems is it's not like one's bad and one's good. It's just they're different. And frequently it's amazing. Family members will go, oh, that is my mother to a T. When they look at the gems, and then we can start talking about what kind of things she's having trouble with not putting a label on moderate dementia or early stage. And so it's easier to have a conversation about cognitive changes without having to put a label for many, many people to start with.
So that answer your question, Phil?
It certainly does. Thank you so much.
And just to answer your question a slightly different way, the training that we do for our employees at Cedar Village, one of the most frequent comments we get from folks who have gone through the training is, this was great to help me at work, but you know what? It really helps me with my grandma, or it really helps me with my father-in-law. So it's information that can be applied in all facets.
And it is written, I would have to say, just from a reader's perspective, that it really does cover all the bases to where it can be both the caregivers and for your loved ones who are still in the sapphire stage to get an idea to understand, you know, what's happening. Because I bet both you, Debbie, and Tipa as well, see that frustration that family members have when they're trying to deal with these loved ones who have dementia or Alzheimer's.
It is. It's very difficult to deal with a family member to see the things that are not as good anymore. And you really, I think sometimes our struggles are bigger as caregivers than for the person who's actually experiencing the dementia.
Deepa, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I would add that often family members really struggle with the idea of giving up on someone versus letting go of something. And it's a very different place to have a history with someone than to step in fresh. I don't have a story with this individual. So when I see them do something, it doesn't hurt as much because I've not lost a level of skill or experience with them. And I can accept them in that moment. She is talking as though the dog is alive and it's a stuffed animal. And for the person who watched her train dogs and raise a family, it's a much more difficult transition. And yet, if you just say, Mom, it's not a real dog, well, sure it is. Then all you're driving a wedge between you and the person as they are in that moment. And it's really difficult. And so one of the points of the book is to help people recognize when they see the signals what they can choose to do. And it's a choice you have to make. And yet it makes a big difference in the relationship.
Well, and there is an amazing amount of frustration that family members and loved ones suffer in trying to care for these folks. And I've seen both sides of the coin with a couple of my relatives. And how does the GEMS system alleviate that frustration for the caregivers?
Well, one of the pluses is one of the reasons I selected GEMS is because with the right setting and the right care, any GEM shines. You just need to know the right care for that GEM and the right setting so they look great. So we need to change the environment and our expectations, and we need to look at what we're asking them to do and how we're cueing them to do it. And that's what the book is all about, giving you ways you can show people or physically help someone that's not intrusive, that doesn't make them feel like you're trying to take over and boss them around. And that makes people more accepting. If I put my hand on your chest trying to wipe something off of it versus I shake hands with you and then take your hand to your chest, well, your body and your brain remembers your hand going to your chest, and there's less resistance. So it's really, it's not just a feel-nice book. It's really a skills book and a set-it-up-so-you-can-succeed-as-a-caregiver book because we want people to be successful.
And I'm glad you brought up that physical aspect. That's another thing I wanted to ask about because I found it very instructive when you talk about the hand-under-hand technique, what you just described there, and what's called the PPA, positive physical approach for someone with dementia, that it's more than just what you're saying to this person. It's how you physically enter their space. Can you talk a little bit about that in the few minutes we have left?
Yeah, people tend to forget that when we talk about dementia, we're talking about brain failure. And your brain has to take in data to process the data to know what to do. And so it means what you see, what you hear, what you feel, what you smell, and what you taste is all going to impact how you behave yourself. So if I'm putting my hands on you and you didn't expect it because you couldn't see me because your vision is becoming more and more limited in its range and scope because your brain is dying, then I need to rearrange myself and make sure that I come from where you can see me coming. So I want to get in that center field of vision, but not too close because it feels like I'm attacking you. And turning to the side so you always know there's a way out, not through me, but past me. And yet you can look at me and see my face, but I'm not blocking you in or trapping you. And so there's a whole science to this art, and there's an art to the science. And that's what the book is about, is combining the art and the science. And Debbie and her crew at Cedar Village were the inspiration to get this into book form with beautiful pictures. And there's lots of pictures to help people see it, not just hear it or read it.
So was this physical approach something that you were working with at Cedar Village before the GEMS system came along? Or is this something that's part of GEMS?
This is an inherent part of the GEMS and the training that we do for dementia, to be dementia competent. The staff are trained in this positive physical approach, and they're tested on it. They're filmed to make sure that they're doing it right. And I can give you an example of a lady who we call Sweet Jenny, and she is the GEM level Amber, which is kind of in the middle and where sensation is a big deal. And Jenny is very hypersensitive to touch, so you can imagine what an ordeal it would be for the staff to help her with her morning routine because she needs the help. But doing any kind of personal care would be a battle. But with the positive physical approach, we make the connection to her first, and then she trusts us to do what needs to be done. So instead of three people fighting with her and having it be a very unpleasant experience for her, it now takes one person, and it's an enjoyable part of her day.
Well, Tipa, we just have a moment left here, just about a minute. What is the best advice or guidance you can offer a caregiver?
Reach out. Don't block yourself in, because this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And so getting the help before you need the help, turn around, look around, see what's out there. Don't be scared of it, and don't do the stigma thing. Just, it's common disease. About 50% of everybody over the age of 85 is probably going to experience some cognitive change. So we need to open doors, not slam them shut.
And I'll ask you, Debbie, real quick, you practice this, you put this to practice, the GEM system and the like. Do people need a lot of training to make this work if they're a caregiver?
Initially, it feels like something that you have to learn. And initially, it feels a little robotic to do some of the positive physical approach. But then it becomes second nature. And when you see the impact that it has, it is so worth it.
Debbie Tyler is the Director of Rehabilitation at Cedar Village Retirement Community. They were supporters of this new system developed by Tipa Snow called the GEMS. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. Tipa Snow is a leading dementia care expert and developer of the GEMS system, and she'll be in Cincinnati this Wednesday at 7 o'clock at the Cedar Village Retirement Community in Mason, discussing the system and her book, The GEMS. It will be available there. The presentation's free, but RSVPs are requested, and information about that at our website, wvxu.org. Austin Kleon, best-selling author of Steal Like an Artist, tells you about his new book, Show Your Work, 10 Ways to Share Your Creativity and Get Discovered. Straight ahead on Cincinnati Edition, here on 91.7 WVXU.